Hey Beauty, I was reading this verse that talked about animals, and it made me think of what's been going on with Miller's Organic Farm. And then it led me to thinking about how much God cares about us. So it's kind of an abnormal episode, but I think that there are many things that I talk about in this episode that will be helpful for you. Before we start the show, I wanted to remind you of my free gift for you. It's called Hope for Your Health, a simple cheat sheet for getting started with holistic health God's way. Just like the title says, it's a simple cheat sheet. It won't take a lot of your time, but it will be helpful to you. So if you're interested in that, go to herholistichealing.com/free. With all that being said, let's get into the show. Welcome to Her Holistic Healing. Do you want more energy and less anxiety so that you can do all the things? Are you searching for meal ideas, essential oils, and other holistic treatments? Do you wish you could know which direction to take with your health so that you could finally feel better? Hey, I'm Alexandra. I love Jesus. I'm a wife, mom of three, and registered nurse with years of experience in clinical research. I also wanted more energy so that I could have more fun and keep up with my growing child. I too was confused about all the different diet and treatment options. I too wanted to wake up every day and feel good, but I felt anxious because I couldn't solve the mystery of my health. Until God showed me that He is the source of true healing. In this podcast, you will learn holistic treatments and Bible truths that will lead you to the peace, joy, and freedom that you have been hoping for. So what do you say we take a break from the mind-numbing humdrum busyness? Let's rest and let God be our healer and helper. Proverbs 12:10, whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast, but the mercy of the wicked is cruel. I came across this verse when I was doing schoolwork with my 5-year-old son. This verse stuck out to me for a lot of reasons, but it made me think of other episodes that I've done, and it also made me think about what's going on with Miller's Organic Farm. I mentioned this farm in another episode, in episodes 20 and 21, where I invited the leader of my co-op to talk about her experience with raw milk and eating grass-fed animal products. She talks about how these food products helped her so much. We also talked about back then, Miller's Organic Farm was raided by the authorities. He wasn't allowed to sell his grass-fed animal products for a while. And then back in January, he was raided again by the authorities. And he's not allowed to sell raw milk. I tried to look online to see what was really going on. There's some sources say that people got sick from his milk, but that's something that I haven't heard of. The leader of my co-op, she's been ordering raw milk and his other meat and other products for years, and she said that no one has ever gotten sick. And when this raid happened, I was receiving updates because I also order from this Amish farm, and other videos that I've seen, they were basically saying that there was no reason for the farm to be raided. I'll actually read you an update. This is a statement from attorney Robert Barnes regarding the February 29th hearing. The court correctly found no safety risk from any Amos Miller food and expressly recognized the sincere testimony of Amos Miller's food consumers of the real benefits of his food. The court correctly pulled back on the scope of the injunction so that it only prohibits marketing and sale of raw milk products and exempts family and non-commercial use. The court accepts the need people have for Amos Miller's products, but claims the legislature must fix that need. While we welcome the call for a legislative remedy, we will appeal the order, and the members will be filing a civil rights suit against Secretary Redding for violating their constitutional rights. Secretary Redding has anointed himself the Pope of Food for the entire country. If he doesn't bless your food, you're not allowed to eat it or even possess it. Whenever I think of raw milk, I think about the Old Testament and how God would always tell the Israelites, I will bring you to a land filled with milk and honey. Back then, the milk was raw, right? And the milk, it seems like milk and honey were very valuable back then. I have met people in my food co-op and other people who have used raw milk as basically as medicine. In episode 38, I was talking to my guest. She had made some sort of remedy with honey. She had done a ton of research on honey and she made this natural remedy with honey. Once again, going back to the Old Testament, God tells the Israelites he will bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey. The guest in episode 38 was talking about how scientists wanted to start vaccinating the bees. Let's just think about this for a second. If Amos Miller's farm was raided for bogus reasons, the scientists want to vaccinate the bees. To me, it just really seems like whoever, I don't want to name names or maybe not even organizations, certain people want to get rid of natural foods, natural things that can help people get better, that can help people heal, that can help people feel better. I don't think that's a coincidence. This case against Miller's Organic Farm, according to the attorney, it can set a precedent for the rest of the food in the U.S. Amos Miller sells his food privately. He doesn't sell it publicly. So should the authorities really have a right to say that he can't sell his food to people? I don't think that whatever blogs that I was looking at that were saying that people were getting sick from his food, I don't think they're true. But even if they are, there's recalls all the time for other foods as well, right? There's also drug recalls all the time, and we don't usually hear about them. I hear about them because of the drug safety industry, which I've been a part of for so long. What really irritates me as well is that when I was trying to find more details on this, when I was looking into some of the mainstream news sites, of course, they have to tell us, oh, who's on which side? Oh, the Republicans are on his side, or the Democrats say this. Why does everything have to be made into a Democrat, Republican, left, right issue? I mean, this is just about people wanting to get good food, real food. So I'm bringing this up to bring awareness to the situation, what's going on with Miller's Organic Farm. I don't want us to get to a point where we can no longer order real food from these wonderful small farmers. Going back to the verse that I was talking about in Proverbs 12:10, whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast, but the mercy of the wicked is cruel. Let me read the beginning again. Whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast. Amos Miller, the way that he raises his animals, he has regard for the animals. He's raising them so that they can walk around. They have plenty of room to roam. They're getting plenty of sun. They're eating the things that they're supposed to eat. They're eating grass and things like that. In contrast, according to PETA.org, this is what's happening with factory farming. I don't agree with PETA's stance because right here on their website, it says animals are not ours to experiment on, eat, wear, use for entertainment or abuse in any other way. I do think that God gave us dominion over the animals, and he also gave us animals to eat, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to read what PETA says about factory farming. It says, in the U.S. today, 99% of animals used for food live on massive industrial factory farms where they're crammed by the thousands into wire cages, metal crates, or other extremely restrictive enclosures inside filthy, windowless sheds. These animals will never raise their families, root around in the soil, build nests, or do anything that is natural and important to them. Most won't even feel the warmth of the sun on their backs or breathe fresh air until the day they're loaded onto trucks headed for slaughterhouses. The factory farming industry strives to maximize output while minimizing costs, always at the animal's expense. The giant corporations that run most factory farms have found that they can make more money by squeezing as many animals as possible into tiny spaces, even though many of the animals die from disease or infection. Animals on factory farms endure constant fear and torment. They're often given so little space that they can't even turn around or lie down comfortably. Egg-laying hens are kept in small cages, chickens and pigs are kept in jam-packed sheds, and cows are kept on crowded, filthy feedlots. Antibiotics are used to make animals grow faster and to keep them alive in the unsanitary conditions. Research shows that factory farms' widespread use of antibiotics can lead to antibiotic-resistant bacteria that threaten human health. Most factory farmed animals have been genetically manipulated to grow larger or to produce more milk or eggs than they naturally would. Some chickens grow so unnaturally large that their legs cannot support their outsized bodies, and they suffer from starvation or dehydration when they can't walk to reach food and water. When they've grown large enough to slaughter, or their bodies have been worn out from producing milk or eggs, animals raised for food are crowded onto trucks and transported for miles through all weather extremes, typically without food or water. At the slaughterhouse, those who survive the transport will have their throats slit, often while they're still conscious. Many remain conscious when they're plunged into the scalding hot water of the defeathering or hair removal tanks, or while their bodies are being skinned or hacked apart. So that's what's going on in factory farms. This is where the majority of our meat comes from. I'm not trying to shame or condemn anyone, because I eat this meat too, but I'm also bringing this up because if you're listening to this show, you know that I love natural remedies, you know that I love real food, so I try to eat, you know, organic foods, grass-fed foods, all of those things. I don't always do it, and it's not very easy to find in the U.S., but I'm bringing this up because maybe if we're reminded about the way these animals are treated every now and then, it will make us pause before we reach for processed food. A friend of mine was saying that he doesn't really struggle with overeating, or he doesn't struggle with craving processed foods, because he doesn't consider it to be real food. And when you think about it, a lot of it is not real food. I mean, we've gotten to the point where there's so many chemicals, there's so many unnatural things in our food that it really isn't real food. In my opinion, I don't think God wants us to eat it. I mean, I don't think it's wise. I don't necessarily think it's wrong, but it's probably unwise. So I'm also bringing this up because if you've been trying to change your diet, if we really think about how are the animals are being raised and how and the chemicals in our other foods, this might help us to reach for healthier alternatives. And once more of us do that, or we do it more often, my hope is that the food industry can change. The food industry will change, hopefully, because if we demand products, if we demand that our animals are treated ethically, if we demand that we want healthier products that are made, if we want real food on the market, then that's what more people will produce, because farmers and food vendors will try to sell us what we want so that they can make money, right? This verse, Proverbs 12:10, I'll read it once again. Whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast, but the mercy of the wicked is cruel. This verse stuck out to me also because I think it's so beautiful that God cares about, he cares about animals. He cares about the sparrows. Matthew 6, starting at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So at the end of the day, you can disagree with me about raw milk, or grass-fed farming, or Amos Miller's Miller's Organic Farm. But when we look at these passages, we can see how caring and loving God is. He cares about the animals. He feeds the birds. He clothes the lilies of the field. He clothes the grass of the field. If nothing else, I just want you to know that if God cares about the birds, the animals, the lilies, the grass, he certainly cares about you. I was watching this movie. I completely forgot what it was called, but it was a Christian movie. And at the end of it, the lady was sitting and she was looking at the cross. She was in a hospital. And she said, I've been a fool because I didn't realize that a God that would do that for me, a God that would die for me, actually cares about me. Think about that for a second. It's a strange concept, right? It was a strange concept that God died, had to die on the cross for our sins, that he was born of a virgin, he died on the cross, he rose again, and he did it all for us. He was beaten and tortured. If you if you've grown up in church, you might be kind of desensitized by that, right? But if you really stop and think about that, no one would do that unless he loved you so much. He was tortured for us. He was beaten for us. He was falsely accused. He was humiliated. He was tortured in the worst way possible. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was bleeding. He was sweating blood. In the garden, he pleaded with God for another way. But there was no other way for him. So he went to the cross. He died for our sins. That God, Jesus, he loves you so much. And I hope that you will never doubt that. I hope that if you've never considered inviting him into your life, if you've never accepted his free gift of salvation, I hope and pray that you do that even right now. I'm so glad that you took the time to listen today. If you liked what you heard, will you leave me a review on Apple Podcasts so that this show can reach more people? And if you want to connect with me, go to herholistichealing.com. Matthew 11 verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
For you. It's easy and my burden is light.